This is Shudders Inc. with Bruce Williams and Glyn Lavender.
Hi, and welcome to episode 298 of Shudders Inc. This is Bruce Williams from ShuddersIncPodcast.com, and joining me on the line via Skype from Melbourne with a mouthful of cheesels or something very similar to that, Mr. Glyn Lavender from CreativePhotoWorkshops.com.au. How are you?
Cheese and bacon shapes.
Right. Okay.
Because they're baked, not fried.
Rah! Yeah. Oh, they must be so much healthier. how's your week been?
No, apparently it's got 0.00000001% of your daily health intake if you have a box.
Well, there
of
was
these.
No point in there, so it's just 1%.
I said 0.00.
No, you
didn't. Didn't I? There's no point. There's just no point. Have I been? I've been well, my friend. I've been very busy.
Oh,
I've
good.
Been so busy this week. It's to the point that I thought today was yesterday.
Right.
I swore today was Wednesday, and it was only like halfway, well, three quarters of the way through the day, I realized, oh, I've got a podcast tonight. I better do my usual research.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, just so, yeah. So, and yourself, how's your week been?
Good. I've decided I'm going to do another Sydney Photographers Meetup.
I saw that
project.
On Facebook.
Yeah.
Being brave and
yeah. It's just a never ending battle. I don't know how you run a business doing it, getting people to put money up front. But there you go.
It's a challenge.
Yes.
It's the good thing is, a lot of the people who book my workshops, I don't know.
Right.
You know, I think it kind of makes a difference. They don't know you. They're connecting with a business.
Yep.
As opposed to, oh, it's a social thing.
Yep.
So maybe it makes a difference. I don't know.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
So it's always
I did wonder about the whole credit card thing. Like if I had the ability to take credit card payments, would that make it easier?
Well, you do, PayPal.
Yeah, well, I am offering PayPal
this
time.
Nice and easy. And you get if you're doing enough of these sort of things, you get the little PayPal to go thing, which is they can swipe the credit card when they arrive.
Oh, yeah.
Straight into your phone and it just straight through, you know?
Yeah.
So there is ways and means.
Yeah.
I've thought about going in that path. I don't have anything to sell at workshops. So there's kind of no point having a credit card facility.
Right.
Then, so.
Yeah. It's easier to just get the money up front.
Yeah, just pay me in advance or bring cash. No, don't say the tax man might be listening. Don't bring cash.
Yeah, so I'm planning a shoot for about 3 weeks down the track, and it's going to be a comic book heroine type shoot.
I saw that. Yeah, but yeah, everyone's into ice these days, mate. Not heroin.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, you get up with the times. You're so 70s.
Yeah.
So what inspired this? What makes you think this was the?
I don't know what inspired it. It's sort of morphed over a couple of. Weeks, like I don't know what initially sparked the idea, but the idea was there of a woman with a katana standing on a rock outcrop, and then slowly as I've
is that like a kitar? What did you say? She's got
a katana.
What was that?
A katana is the curved ceremonial sword that the samurais used.
Yeah. Did we mention nerd folk? If you didn't know what a katana was.
Now you do.
No, congratulations. Yeah. You ain't one of them.
So, yeah. So it's kind of, it's slowly developed in my mind over the last couple of weeks. And I had one model lined up.
Yeah.
And all of my communication with her has been like pulling teeth.
Oh.
And I thought to myself, I've just got the feeling from past experience she's either going to A, completely flake and not show up, or B, she's just going to be a nightmare to work with.
Yeah.
And she's only 21, and I just thought, nah, I'm not taking the risk. So I put it out there to a 30-year-old model, and she just came back and went, oh, my God, I absolutely love that. That is such an awesome idea. I would love
somebody
to be involved.
Somebody still likes me.
Yeah. Oh. So I wrote back to her and I said, I am so happy to hear that level of, you know, enthusiasm from you. You're on board. So.
She must type loud if you could hear that enthusiasm.
Yeah, that's right.
She must talk really loud.
So, yeah, so this weekend I'm going to do a bit of scouting around. There's an area in the northwest of Sydney called Maroota and Wiseman's Ferry. And it's a region of cliff that has lots of granite rock outcrops that are high up on a cliff that sort of looks over the Hawkesbury River.
Nice.
So I'm going to go and scout around there. A lot of it will probably be privately owned land, so I'll probably just do some random door knocking and see if anyone's prepared to let us come and shoot there on a Saturday afternoon in a few weeks' time.
Good stuff. Good on you for getting out there and doing it.
Well, yeah. Now, having picked up the camera a couple of times in the last month, it's just kind of got the itch again. So
good. Because we're also doing the photography podcast, if you don't like taking photos.
And I think I mentioned to you that the Joe McNally thing sort of inspired me again.
That's right, the Gitzo tripod thing.
The Gitzo tripod in the desert with the models doing headstands on top of a tripod.
Funny things get you going, Bruce. That's all I'm going to say. Models doing headstands on top of a tripod in a desert gave you the inspiration to take up your photography again.
There you go.
Fabulous. So you like looking at the masters, you know, your Rembrandts, your Picassos, your people on top of tripods doing headstands, all the classics.
That's it. So anyway, so it's coming together slowly.
My biggest problem I've always done with workshops with that kind of shot is anytime you're working with fabric, it's just a nightmare.
In what sense?
She's got flowing. Just trying. You all want to get the perfect shot of the fabric looking perfect,
like floating on the breeze.
Yeah, just the right way, with just the right amount of kink and bend and ruffles, just the right shape and angles. And his shape's better than my shape, and we try it again. So it's a very I try and avoid as much as possible those kind of variables because.
Right.
One person gets a phenomenal shot, and the wind dies down, and everyone else is left with somebody throwing the fabric up in the air, which looks nearly the same.
Yeah.
And it's just such a it's great if you're shooting for yourself to do that stuff because you've got time and control and do it over and over. But when you've got a group, it does change the whole feel quite a bit.
Yeah. Well, so, I have said in the post that I put on the Sydney Photographers Meetup page that I will be limiting the number of people who are going to be shooting at this. I initially said six, and I'm actually thinking it's probably going to be four.
Yeah, I reckon it's sensible.
Yeah, because it just gets, as you say, it just gets too hard to try and juggle it all with you if you've got too many people shooting. And given that we'll be using speed lights and not flash heads, because I don't have flash heads.
Yeah.
So then you're up against recycle times and all that sort of, palaver.
Of course, depends what sort of time of day you're shooting, what sort of power you need your flash to be on.
Well, the intention is to do hair and makeup mid-afternoon, sort of 2 to 3.30.
What about for the model?
And then allow half an hour. How's the hair? Hair okay, Richie?
What do you mean?
It's fine, Richie.
Every time I bring my camera to my face, it moves my hair out of whack.
And then allow half hour from 3.30 till 4 to get from wherever the hair and makeup location is to wherever the shoot location is, which hopefully won't be very far. And then, probably shoot from 4 till 6, which will take us across sundown.
Yeah. Okay. So you're not working with massively high output flashes. Quarter power, 8 power sort of stuff. So that's not too bad. Good recycle time.
Yeah.
But I said it's just all those moving variables of the drama.
Yeah.
Mind you, but we should stop it there because I was talking at the camera club last night, and someone who listens to the podcast said, "Oh, you do tend to waffle on a bit sometimes, you guys. We may be waffling on this subject." So, hello, Margaret. Hope you're well.
Hello, Margaret.
Rotten buddy. All right. Oh yeah, you tend to waffle a bit. She says.
Yeah. Richard Dannable got in about 4 years before you, Margaret, when he nicknamed this podcast "Crap Crap Giggle Giggle."
Yeah. But since Shelton's gone, we got rid of the giggle giggle. First
half. So anyway, so what do you got on the agenda for this week?
Well, I did my week. I had my last big workshop at my old studio.
So you've moved into your new.
I haven't moved, but that's the last I had 12 people. It's the last big volume. I've got a couple of small events. One more small event to do, and that's kind of it. So my last big one, and
right.
Just looking at a new space being twice the physical size and looking how many people crammed into this little space, like, oh, I can't wait.
Yeah, right.
just too much small. And then yesterday before going down, I spoke yesterday at the Geelong Camera Club last night.
Yep.
With my good mate Dave Oakley, and so we did, before we went down, we did some scouting work around the new location, looking for places to shoot.
Oh, cool.
It's got lots and lots of potential, which is good.
Good.
So talked to the camera club last night. My mate Dave talked about his art and his photography and his art that he does,
like his paintings.
His photography and his paintings. Yeah, he's talking to the camera club, talking a lot about his photography. But now, coming from his acquired brain injury and being missing 16% of his brain, and the 10-year rehabilitation from the workplace attack and stuff, and to where he is, and there was tears in the audience and gasps and congratulatory applause.
Yeah, right.
Apparently, a couple of ladies in the audience wanted to kill me because I was kind of heckling. Yeah. Like, he's not very tall. Stand up, Dave. Stand. Oh, I am. Oh, you are. Oh, look at that. Yeah, that kind of stuff. You know. Apparently, a couple of ladies thought I was being a bit disrespectful. But you know, moi.
Glenn, disrespectful.
What?
I won't hear of it.
I never. Yeah, exactly. Thanks for standing up for me, dude. And guess what I did yesterday?
What?
I did a landscape.
Did the model not show up?
No, because we were driving down Geelong, which is an hour or so from my place,
yeah.
And there's this location where I want to go take a model, and I haven't yet.
Right.
And I said, Dave, yeah, we've got a bit of time. Let's spin past and let's do a landscape.
Yeah, right.
So I did. I did one, Bruce.
Wow.
I did two. I did some with my phone.
Oh, okay.
And posted it up straight away.
Oh, this was the tree.
The tree. And then I did one with a real camera.
Right.
The one with the phone's got more likes than the one with the camera.
Is that right? Now, when you posted them up, was the one on the left the DSLR shot?
I don't remember. No, the one with more foreground light details. So I think it's maybe the second one, the one on the right. One's a square and one's a rectangle.
Oh, okay. I only saw them on my phone, so they both appeared as a square at the time because I didn't actually...
No, the one on the left was the phone, and the one on the right was the camera.
Wow.
The phone did a pretty darn good job.
Yeah, because it actually looked like, and Facebook compression is horrible, but it actually looked to me like the one on the left had smoother gradations in the sky.
Oh, this is going to be the Facebook bloody thingamajiggy. So I see on my screen, I can't see any gradations at all. You know, any banding or anything. So the only thing is with the camera one, there's some cloud detail, but you can't see in the other one.
Right.
So yep. There's a little bit of very subtle upper level cloud. But yeah, so but I did a landscape. I'm not very good at it, but yeah, I did one. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, so I'm crap at this stuff, but I did one. Yeah.
Excellent.
And I was rather proud of myself, you know. My next goal is to take a photograph of a bee on a flower in focus.
Right.
So I can't do macro either.
Have you got a macro lens?
I do. It's my favourite portrait lens.
Right. Fair enough. What is it, like a 90?
I've got a 60 and a 90 and a 100.
Okay.
I've got a 3 macro.
A 90 lens. And a 100? That's a bit redundant.
Get everything for free, dude.
Oh, okay.
When they say, do you want this? You don't go, no.
Fair enough.
Okay. Oh, no, I've got 10 mil less than that at home. I'll be right. No, you say all right. Uh-oh. Put that one in the bag. Yeah.
Fair
enough. It's like I've got my 28 to 75 and my 24 to 70.
Say that again. A what and a what?
28 to 75.
Yeah.
And my 24 to 70.
Oh, okay.
So the 28 to 75 is just sitting on the shelf, you know. I've got stacks of lenses that just sit on the shelf.
Yeah, right.
But they're pretty.
Nice.
Nice. So I did the landscape. So I was rather, we should put that in the show notes. Put the landscape in there.
Okay.
Because,
well, can you send me the JPEGs straight out of Lightroom?
No, I don't use Lightroom.
No, of course you don't.
Well,
just email them to me so that I've got them to put in the show notes.
I was just going to send you a link to Flickr.
Oh, okay. Well, that'll do. If you've got Flickr links.
I'm far too lazy to actually attach a photograph to an email. What are you thinking? I'm not working that hard for free. You know? So here we go. I'm gonna do this. And then I'm gonna press that. And there it is. I've done it.
Excellent.
I've done my work for the night.
Excellent. your work for the night.
And going back to the landscape,
yeah,
just how much more popular landscapes are than photos of people, as far as comments and likes and yeah, stuff.
On things like Flickr and 500px.
Yeah, and yeah, but also on Facebook, you put a pretty landscape up and be, oh, you put a cool photo of an old bloke.
Yeah. You
know, it just shows how narrow a field my workshop's covered. Yeah, well, it's small percentage of the population. Yeah, because I did a joke photograph. I was out fishing. I went fishing for the first time in forever as well on Tuesday.
Oh, okay.
And I was driving along, and it was foggy, and it was -1. And I was up in the country of Victoria, and there's no point getting fishing till because I'm fly fish. There's no yeah. point fly fishing until like the sun had sort of warmed up the air somewhat. Right. So I was 4 hours early, effectively.
What time of the day were you out?
I left at 5 a.m.
Oh, okay.
Got there about 7:30.
Right.
Fog raised about 10.
You're keen.
Well, you know, it's the first time in a year and a half I'd been out, so yeah, you want to get up there, but of course, completely ridiculous because I was there 2.5 hours, 3 hours too often.
Time for breakfast and a coffee then.
I'll go and take some photos of, you know, ice encrusted fern leaves and stuff. But I took the photo of this little suspension bridge,
okay,
this old wooden suspension bridge with a bit of leaves on it, a bit of autumn foliage, and so that came out quite nice. And just for a Facebook update, you know, my office for the day kind of thing.
Yeah,
that got, I don't know, like 150 likes or something.
Right.
Then I came across this modern suspension bridge, which is all metal and horrible and blah. So I took a photo of that.
Yep.
And then did a side by side. Which do you prefer? Thinking no one's going to take this question seriously. I mean, no one's even going to bloody ask. What? It's a joke. No one's going to answer. I don't know. 80 responses. 130. Oh, we all like the old. Well, duh. What's going like the old? But the old one was misty and autumn leaves, and there's lots of autumn leaves over it.
Yeah.
But like an hour and a half later when I took the other one, it was sunny and daylight, and there was no leaves to be seen. So someone said, oh, you could have at least taken the photographs at the same season. We're taking an hour and a half apart. just the juxtaposition of both the day and just the feel. Like having some autumn leaves on this old piece of this modern steel yuck thing would make it better. So it's been, and then I've got some good news today. I'm doing a one-on-one workshop next week, and specifically asked for a couple.
Oh.
Yeah, but with only like a few days' notice. Like the workshop's on Wednesday, the day's on Wednesday, and they told me last night, and I was out until – I didn't get home from talking to John Camera Club till 1 o'clock this morning.
Yeah, right.
Because not that – yeah, I finished in Geelong at 9:45, but I had to drive my mate Dave Oakley from Geelong to Chelsea, which is about the length of the state just about, and then halfway back again the other way to go back home for myself.
Jeez. Oh,
3 3/4 hour trip.
Wow.
To drive what would have been a 50-minute trip normally from my place.
Right.
you love. So I didn't get home till late. So then I was reading this email. Oh, God, I've got to find a couple. But I met this couple at a wedding a few months ago.
Yeah.
And he's a tattoo artist.
Right.
Who's got lots of tats.
Yeah.
But when he dresses, you don't see nothing.
Right.
He's a hipster. He's a cool, not the big beard, crazy, horrible hipster, but just a cool, genuine hipster. And his girlfriend is amazing, A, looking, B, style-wise.
Right.
And they're both free on the day, and they're both going to come and help.
Oh, fantastic.
Oh, I've been wanting to shoot these two guys for ages, and I'm going to be paid to do it.
Nice.
It's nice. Even better, Bruce. Yeah.
Nice.
Life is good. And then I want to let Shutterzinc people in on the ground level.
Yeah.
First people to know about it, even though it's all secret and with no details yet, but I'll sort of break the news. I'm co-chairing a tour to India next year for 19 days.
Wow. In March,
leaving last day of February and 19 days through 5 or 6 awesome locations in India.
Oh.
Only 9 to 12 people and 2 tutors for the whole thing. It's going to be a cracker. I want to call it the People of India Tour because we're just going to go there and mostly shoot
people.
Yeah. People, but I mean, stuff, anything we see, obviously, but you know,
okay, obviously, it's early days. Have you got a rough idea of what the price will be?
Not a clue,
right?
Yeah,
and who are you co-touring it with?
Can't tell you.
You can't tell us who the co is?
No, can't say a word.
Why not?
But what? So watch this space kind of thing.
Oh, geez, watch this space.
last day of Feb through 19 days. and it's going to be a cracking tour. So
awesome.
Pretty excited about that. I mean, it's just going to be nice just to do another tour with a bunch of people. So it'll be it'll be a lot of fun. And so if anyone out there is interested, drop us a line, say g'day, put us on the keep us notified kind of list, and we can do that.
Yeah, right.
Now, I've been having to think during the week as well, Bruce, about the 300th episode.
Yeah.
That's next week, isn't it?
No, week after.
Exactly. That's what I said. So in a couple of weeks' time, I came up with an idea to celebrate.
Yeah.
We should change the name of the podcast. Let's rename the podcast.
Right.
A lot of silence on the other end of the line there. You're still there, Bruce?
Yeah.
I just think, what does that mean?
What do you want to rename it to?
Well, I was thinking Cranky Old Men. The Wafflers. I thought Margaret might appreciate that. My real personal thought was It's All About Me. Would have been a good name for it. Yeah. Or, no, It's Really All About Me. Would have been another good name for it. Opinions Are Us. Possibly Dad's Army. There's a range of names we could come out with. Even that crap, giggle, giggle, whatever thing, that's not necessarily a bad description.
Right.
Okay, back to the drawing board on that one.
Yeah, I think so. Okay.
So here's the thing I came across.
Yeah.
So there's been this big furor in the photo industry for the last few years that, you know, Nikon and Canon, all these people have gone and started their own sales websites where they're selling and competing against their stores they supply.
Yep.
Okay. Which has kind of peeved a lot of people off, yep. Especially when for the previous couple of years before that, they'd run all these consumer competitions through stores to mine data and get people to build a database, or they'd do cashbacks where you had to send in to Canon or Nikon or whatever to get your cashback. Of course, you leave all your details to be marketed to.
Yep.
So they stole all the retailers' customers and then direct marketed to them, say, buy from us instead.
Right.
That kind of annoyed a fair few stores, as you can imagine.
I can't imagine why.
Not satisfied with taking retail customers, now they want to steal wedding photographers' business.
What?
Nikon have announced this week Nikon to offer free newlywed portraits at New York City Hall next week. So okay. Nikon are taking this big bus. It's going to be set up in some hack called Joe McNally, I think his name is, is going to be photographing the newlyweds and doing their photos for them for free.
What?
So now the wedding photographers have been knocked out of the game. Isn't it disgraceful?
That's just weird.
It might not be the whole wedding. It might just be a photo.
Yeah.
But it is. It's a funny little gimmick. But they're doing it.
Honestly, if you knew anything about photography and someone said you could have your wedding photo taken by Joe McNally, you'd be all over that like a rash.
Yeah, because he's so well known for his wedding photography.
Yeah, but the point is the guy is a master of light.
Yeah, but doesn't mean he can do a nice, intimate wedding portrait.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, it's like everything. You can't be good at photographing everything. I hope not, anyway. It's a justification I've been using. So I've got to hope not. As I said, you know, my goal is to do an in-focus photo of a bee on a flower. Aim low and you might get there, people. I'm going to use my phone. Probably give me the best chance. But I thought that's kind of interesting thing for Nikon to be doing.
Mean they're doing it on a weekend, on the day that people are getting married? Or are they expecting people to get dressed up again?
I don't know. No, but it's City Hall, so it's where people go to get married if you're not getting married in churches and stuff.
Oh, it's for the people that are doing registry weddings.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So that's interesting. So then.
Okay. Well, that's probably a market that wedding photographers aren't getting a slice of anyway.
Yeah. Yep. Well, recently I was doing a city walk through Melbourne and I saw a wedding couple about to go into the town hall registry office.
Yeah.
And they were photographing themselves doing selfies on the iPad.
Oh, my God.
He'd shoot her by herself, then she'd shoot him by himself, and then they'd do a selfies of the two of them together. That was their wedding photo.
Oh, jeez.
I know. And an iPad, too. It wasn't even a camera.
Yeah.
It's an iPad. So maybe they're reaching to a whole untapped market there. Who knows, yeah. So I've had a week of incredulity. I would guess you'd probably say I've been incredulous. It's just some of the marketing and some of the nameology The name Nivity, like connectivity. Panasonic this week launched or saw some marketing on their latest communication camera.
Right.
So they've got this awesome communication camera called the CM1, the Panasonic Lumix DMC CM1 communication camera. It's called a phone, I think, and everything else.
Yeah, I was going to say, it sounds like a smartphone.
It's a phone, but it's a communication camera now.
Right.
Somebody worked hard in the marketing department for that one, didn't they?
Yep.
A communication camera. I will say about this communication camera, it does have manual shutter speed, aperture, ISO, white balance.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
It's pretty cool. I just don't need it to be called a communication camera.
You know what I find rather head-scratching about this?
What?
4K video at 15 frames a second.
Mm.
Like, really?
Yeah.
Why?
When I want 4K, I want to see stuff moving fast.
Exactly.
I know. Just because you can doesn't mean you should.
No. It would have been much better to just leave it at 1080p at 30 frames. That's exactly. Far more usable.
I'm sure it probably does that too.
Well,
imagine.
It's not listed in the specs.
Really? So that's a bit crap.
Well, not on the link you sent me anyway. But, I mean, maybe you're right. Maybe it'll be buried in a menu as an option. But
you could only imagine it'd have to. You really couldn't think they'd only have that.
But I just can't imagine who's going to find that usable. Who's going to find that usable?
Yeah.
You know, if you need to drop your frame rate to 15 frames a second for your video, I don't think you're really concerned about shooting 4K.
Yeah.
That's a bizarre choice. That
one. It does raw files. It's 20 megapixel CMOS sensor. Yeah. It's interesting.
There's some interesting specs there.
It is interesting. I haven't actually looked at their image gallery. That could be interesting. Let's have a quick look. Have they gone out? Oh, no, it's all charts. Oh, look at that. Lovely photos of charts. Fabulous. It's inspired me to want to go buy one right there. Fabulous stuff.
Oh dear.
4K video only records, this is one of the conclusions, the bad. 4K video only records at 15 frames. You're right on the ball with that one, my friend.
Yeah.
Well, they're big complaints about it too.
Yeah.
But just communication bloody camera. So that's one of the things this is what we should call as a cranky old man. I'm telling you, it's just a cranky old man and Bruce, something else. Now, I saw this advertising for the new Toshiba memory cards.
Right.
And I'm sure at first my eyes played tricks. You know when you look at a word and your brain puts a word there that isn't the word because it kind of looks similar and you've got to kind of look hard to see what word it actually is?
Yeah. Okay.
So I saw the Toshiba Excretia memory card. These memory cards are shit.
It's a load of shit.
But the Excursia, E-X-C-E-R-C-I-A.
What is that even meant to mean?
I have no idea. Excretia is all I could think. Really?
Excursia.
And then, jumping in, I came across a thing, someone advertising a custom viewfinder experience.
Right.
It's an iCup. It's a custom viewfinder experience. Unfortunately, and the listeners will be very pleased to know, I've got a link in there for the YouTube video of the unboxing of the custom viewfinder experience. Because let's face it, who could live without watching that thing being unboxed?
Oh, yeah.
A custom viewfinder. I couldn't believe it. I said, what is this thing? What else does it do besides... It's an eye cup. And I was looking, and you know what? It doesn't do anything.
It's just a freaking piece of rubber.
It's an eye cup. What's the thing? Photodioxide Eve Venger eye cup keeps light out of your DSLR viewfinder. It's a freaking eye cup. That's the typo in the headline. iVenger, not Eve. That makes more sense. iVenger, not eVenger. Right. What a load. The DSLR eyepieces that ship with cameras are generally designed to be universal, providing the same functionality for left and right eye. It doesn't provide any functionality for your eye. It's, if anything, it's got connectivity more than functionality. Try connects to it. Oh, these things. Photodioxide says this new product is designed to block out this light coming in from the side, preventing eye strain.
What?
Removing distractions and giving you a better view of your composition. Because the little bit of light that might be sneaking in because your eye isn't suctioned to your custom viewfinder experience, it puts you off when you're shooting, you know? Each kit comes with two eye cups, one for each eye. Well, I've only got one viewfinder. Why don't I just sort of suction cup the other
eye? Why didn't
they
just make it so that it could rotate 180 degrees and then you'd only need one?
In the old days, you mean?
Hey?
Because that's how they used to always work back in the old days. They'd rotate.
Right.
Well, for some brands. Oh, just I was gobsmacked, and I'm really thinking, yeah, cranky old Glenn is probably the idea. Oh, it's a sign you're old. As I posted on Facebook today, you know you're getting old when you see the words or the date 2012 and the word vintage next to each other.
Nice.
Vintage 2012. It's like, oh, I'm old. It's 3 years ago. The go is vintage. Everything's getting faster. Everything is getting faster.
Yeah.
What else did I come up with?
I love the next one.
The Pinterest one?
No, the Aurora selfies.
I sort of jumped. There's a guy suing Pinterest.
Oh, I thought you were skipping that because.
I wanted to keep my incredulity together.
Oh, okay, fair enough.
A guy suing Pinterest for people pinning his photos.
Oh.
Because it's breach of copyright.
Right. So this is not the Richard Prince story.
No, this is a different Richard Prince for it. Yeah. But this is a different a guy who's suing Pinterest because people when they pin their photographs.
Oh, okay.
They're stealing this guy. He's saying, well, they're misappropriating my art. There's no due, saying, oh, no, thanks to blah blah blah. So he's suing Pinterest.
Well, is he posting his pictures on Pinterest?
No, it's like, do you know how Pinterest works?
Not really.
Well, Pinterest is basically when you go around the internet and you find, oh, that's cool, and you basically just pin it to one of your boards on your Pinterest. Right. So it basically just captures the link and holds it on this, like a notice board.
Okay, yep.
Just like your own website notice board. But you're basically taking other people's work, moving it to your own location.
Yep.
And putting it up there for people to see, and people can come look at your boards and stuff like that.
So is it actually creating a copy of the asset? Is it? It's not just linking back to
it. I would imagine it's linking back, but as far as he's concerned, these people are taking his work and displaying it somewhere else.
Wow.
Which is kind of cool. So, yeah, then on to the Aurora selfies. These are very cool, aren't they?
Awesome.
It reminded me of the ones we were talking about the week or so ago with the guy doing the remote control shots of himself tiny in landscapes.
Yeah.
I thought it's the same sort of thing, but going one better.
But these are all done with an aurora happening in the sky above him.
It doesn't matter how smart some bloke he thinks he is. Somebody's going to go and get an aurora and shove it in there too.
Yeah.
But there's some very cool shots. And then I've got, just for you,
a
YouTube video on how JPEG compression works.
Oh, sweet as.
I knew you'd be interested.
I will look at that later.
I just worry it's going to keep you up tonight with the excitement, Bruce. maybe save it till daytime so you're not going to go sleepless. Because I don't want to, you're riding your bike again?
I am.
You're on your bike tomorrow?
Yes.
So if you didn't get much sleep tonight because you're so excited, then you had an accident tomorrow because you were fatigued.
As I nearly did
on Tuesday, I was coming home on Tuesday down the main freeway, sort of from Sydney to Melbourne.
Right.
I'm doing 110 kilometres an hour overtaking a truck, a semi-trailer. When I realised both of my eyes were closed and I was pretty much asleep.
What?
I know. It was like, maybe I should wake up and pull over. But yeah, it's literally, I remember putting the indicator on, I remember pulling out, I remember getting a bit of the way past the truck. Next thing I know, I'm mostly in front of the truck and I've been asleep for the last 5 seconds.
Oh.
I know. Kind of scary.
That is kind of scary.
So yeah, straight away, bang. Straight back to sleep. It pulled over, 15-minute power nap.
Yep.
And everything was
and
fine.
And that makes a world of difference.
Amazingly so, doesn't it? Just that little 15-minute, just take your mind off stuff, not to be concentrating, and very interesting. What else have I got? So videos. Then I came across what's
the first ever photo
of a person. Yeah, they think, but there's been no earlier one found, and it's done by Daguerre himself.
Wow,
it's a Daguerre, and it's a 7-minute long exposure which he needed to get the shot. But some guy just happened to be stopping in the bottom corner, having his shoe polished.
Right,
his shoes polished, and so because he stood there for a period of time, he's registered in the shot. Because it's a 7-minute long exposure, so all these people would have been walking around there but not showing because they were moving.
They're shooting like 2.5 ISO or something.
Well, who knows?
Why would you need 7 minutes in the middle of the day? Was he shooting through a 10-stop filter? He was ahead of his time.
Remember the technology they're working with, dude. Yeah, this is why people didn't smile. In fact, I saw a shot today of this great. There's a sort of behind the scenes shot from back in the day, and it's this guy with the big camera with a big massive lens with the hood you put over yourself.
Yep.
But the guy who's photographing is sitting in a chair, and the back of the chair is like this brace where it holds your head still.
Oh right.
It's like a pair of stirrups, and you have to imagine your head in this. Your head doesn't move during the however long the exposure is. You know.
Wow.
So that was kind of funny. But yeah, so
1838,
the first ever photo of a person.
Wow.
Yeah. And what's sitting down the bottom down there? And then the next link I put in there is it didn't take long. 1 year later, first selfie.
Are you kidding?
First selfie. Bang. Yeah. Some people just could not wait.
Wow.
It's actually supposed to be the first portrait photograph ever made, but it happens to be a selfie.
Yeah. Right.
So it's kind of like, I don't want to take a photo of somebody else.
And how long was that exposure?
I think twice half its length, Bruce.
Right. Okay.
Yep.
So I'm thinking, because if that was, another, 5 or 7 minute exposure, then.
It says he sat for more than a minute.
Right.
Before covering up the
lens. So he could fire the thing off, jump out from under the hood, go and get in place.
Well, remember, in those days, there was no shutter. They didn't fire the thing off at all. It just removes the lens cap.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, of course.
Take the lens cap off, light starts going in of the plate.
Yeah.
And then you put the lens cap back over the top to stop it. that was the shutter.
Yeah.
Someone should come back with that. The shutter cap experience.
There you go. Start a Kickstarter project, mate.
I think we should. The grumpy old man shutter cap experience. It's just a push on lens cap. I love it. Yeah, so that was gone. So the first picture of a person, 1839, and written in his own words, was back of a self portrait, bing bang bong. So
yeah, right,
kind of cool. And then I don't know, something struck me tonight. I can't remember why. Oh no, I was going through these top 21st in photography list,
right?
And I saw the first ever photograph of the Earth from the Moon.
Oh right? Wow!
And I'm going, hang on a sec. Because this is from an unmanned vehicle, right?
Oh, was it?
Yeah. How did they get the photo? How did they beam? Before digital, how did they take these photos like the Voyager spacecraft? How is it taking photographs and beaming them back to Earth? It wasn't developing photos, scanning them, sending them. So all of a sudden it was like, hang on a second.
You know that they had the image before the lander came back?
But the lander didn't come back.
Oh.
This is insane. Voyager air spacecraft is still going, and it's still sending back pictures.
Oh, FedEx, mate. FedEx.
And it went in 75, so it was a well timed before digital. Yeah. So I thought it was really interesting. So I found the physics, a physics page which explains the types of cameras used on those things and how they worked.
Yeah.
Which I thought, well, if it interested me, it might interest a few others.
Yeah, right.
Because I thought, well, how on earth can? But it was all—they were all charged coupled devices,
right?
So CCDs and basically video cameras still capture video cameras.
Wow!
It's cool, and I'd never thought
they actually had digital that early.
Well, they had
a form thereof.
Yeah, so the data was stored on a digital tape drive and played back. You know, they sent back.
Yeah, one line at a time.
and the thing is, it took so long to go along between, say, Saturn and Jupiter. It would take so many years. It took those years to stream back the photos that had taken of Saturn.
Wow.
And I saw this photograph. It's taken, it's now, I think it's 11,100,000,000 miles from Earth now, Voyager. Okay?
Wow.
And they've got this photograph of Earth.
And is it out of our solar system yet?
No.
Still inside, yeah.
But it's got this photograph of the Earth, and it's just this star, basically. It's just a dot.
Wow.
Like one pixel dot in this photograph. Wow. And that's the Earth. It's quite amazing that man has sent something all the way out there and as I say, they don't build them like they used to. They built a camera back in 1977. They're still working now.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Nikon can't build one now that still works now. Nikon just did an update, a firmware update to improve reliability, was pretty much all they said.
Yeah, right.
Okay. Thanks for the info.
That page that you've linked to,
yes,
cameras in Voyager probes,
yeah,
down at, towards the bottom of the yep. first response,
yeah,
there is a thing that said, those are the cameras for the much newer Cassini spacecraft.
Oh, okay.
Cassini is the project that Rosalie, the girl I was talking about who I photographed on the
volcano.
Edge of the volcano, she works on the Cassini project.
Wow, what a funny cyclical link that is, hey?
Isn't it?
It's a funny world how that sort of stuff happens.
Totally.
Oh, as a Voyager 1, just going to the Voyager website, Voyager 1 has entered interstellar space.
Oh, so it's past Pluto now.
Pluto is not interstellar space. It's like another 5 times as much distance between Earth and Pluto beyond Pluto before you leave the solar system.
What?
Oh, yeah, then you've got the Oort cloud and all this. The solar system goes on well beyond Pluto.
Oh.
Yeah, significantly well beyond Pluto. Oh. But according to this, it's done.
So you're saying it's gone 5 times as far as Pluto?
Or more, yeah.
What?
It has to. If it's left the solar system, it has to.
No.
It has to.
I thought it had just got out to the outer edges because we're just getting photos back now.
Yeah, but it takes a long time, remember?
FedEx van's got to drive further.
It's going a long way in tiny, tiny bits of dust. Today, Voyager 1, at a distance of 130 astronomical units.
Right.
So an astronomical unit is the sun
Very big.
To the Earth. No, sun to the Earth.
Right.
Okay, so 93 million miles, effectively. Yeah. 130 times that.
Right.
Whatever the number that works out to be.
Yeah, that'd be about Pluto.
The spacecraft entered interstellar space, the space between the stars, which has been delivering data about this uncharted territory ever since. That was on... Well, it doesn't make sense. Today it left it, and it's been sending information ever since. It doesn't make sense. So the Voyager 1 is 3 times further from the Earth than it was on Valentine's Day 25 years ago. Is that all? Doesn't sound right. But anyway, yeah. It's
amazing
it's,
stuff.
Well, it's well beyond Pluto.
Yeah, right.
Because so I wonder if you get them. I'm going to do this. I'm going to live Google.
Yeah.
How far is it from Pluto to the Oort cloud? There we go. Now got to search through. There's only 116,000 results in 0.59 of a second. Yeah, I think the Oort cloud's 8 billion miles beyond.
Yeah, here we go. At its closest point, Pluto is 29 astronomical units from the sun.
Yeah. And at the moment, it's 130 astronomical units now.
Wow.
It's 101 beyond that.
Wow.
So how's that for math? 129, bang. You got it like that, Bruce.
Sharp, mate. Tack sharp.
Yeah, so it's
straight beyond. Over the top, that one.
So the Oort cloud is this cloud
through
of
to the keeper.
Particles, which is where all the comets come from.
What?
It's where all the comets come from.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway. So yeah, we're
you missed all that.
Yeah, just choose to ignore anyone but myself.
Right.
I think we should name the podcast It's All About Me. You know, really it is. anyway, that was my list of stuff for the week.
Excellent.
A bunch, a bit.
Well, we got an email from David Marland.
Isn't he lovely?
Who said, "Hi Bruce and Glenn, this one caught my attention. It's an advert for the Harnell Capture remote trigger system. But the YouTube video of the shoot of a fire breather they use has the warning, attempts to recreate this shoot is dangerous and may result in serious injury or death."
And that's a fair disclaimer, isn't
it? That's a pretty cool shoot that they were doing, though.
But that's in all those sort of things, you know.
Yeah.
Just in case.
Getting out of bed could cause serious injury or death.
Eating this M&M can cause death. Well, if you... kind of reaching in to get the M&M, you're not watching where you're going, you step in the street, get hit by a truck. Yeah, it's possible.
That's right.
These things. But if you don't put those disclaimers in,
that's
you
it.
Get sued.
Yeah, that's it.
Kind of world we live in.
So anyway, I had a look at that particular video, and they've got a whole bunch of other short videos each covering a different aspect of what this trigger can do. It sounds very similar to the Trigger Trap and all the other devices like that that are out there now.
Unlike Trigger Trap, they actually produced a product that got out in the market.
Oh, that's harsh. That's harsh. Anyway, hey, link will be in the show notes for anyone that wants to check it out.
Speaking about harsh.
What?
I actually read last week's show notes.
Yeah?
Did you have an interview on after
we finished? Yeah, I did.
You didn't even tell me you were talking to some bloke. Who was
no,
it?
I didn't.
You just wanted the filter for yourself, didn't you?
No. You just weren't interested.
Well, there's always that.
There you go.
But I've been in the show notes and go, what? We did what? Really?
So what caused you to read the show notes?
I can't remember. It must have been a lapse of
you
judgment.
Were bored. You were sitting on the loo, had nothing better to do. Reg Vardy sent us a link.
Did he?
Or three.
He's that Queenslander. I lives up in Queensland I think it's a dolphin farm.
What?
He farms dolphins.
Does he?
Yeah, not having much success. Apparently he plants them too close together. Doing all right.
Anyway, this was pretty funky. This was a hardware controller system that comes in cubes and faders and knobs, and they sort of magnet, they stick together like magnets, but you can use them as a MIDI controller to do your editing in Photoshop or Lightroom. So you know, where you want to grab your, you know, like your contrast slider or your exposure slider in Lightroom, instead of having to click it with a mouse and drag left or right, you can actually use a physical controller with a fader to switch it, you know, sideways or up and down. And it's really cool. So,
well, for nerds like you.
Yeah, man, it looks awesome.
It does look pretty cool.
Yeah.
I know I'd never ever use it. I mean, my editing consists of my right index finger on the trackpad on my laptop while sitting in front of watching TV.
Right.
That's my level of editing. So I'm thinking, this isn't going to fit on my lap as well as my laptop, so it's not going to happen. Same reason I don't use a touch tablet, because I can't put the laptop and the tablet.
Like a Wacom tablet.
Yeah, I can't put the tablet and the laptop on my lap at the same time.
Right.
So there goes that. Yeah. That's anyway. Pretty cool, though.
There's about three links for that story, and they'll all be in the show notes. The videos are definitely worth checking out. David Kembry sent us the story, which was like the big story of the week, and this happened the very day after Glyn and I had recorded last week, because last week we recorded on a Tuesday night. Had we recorded on the Thursday like we normally do, we would have covered this last week, and it was the story of Richard Prince. This absolutely reprehensible creature who has been stealing people's photos from Instagram and then printing them with an inkjet printer on large scale canvas and then selling them in his art gallery in New York City for $90,000 a pop with no attribution to the original photographers, no royalties paid.
That's not true.
What?
Because the Instagram screenshot has the username in the top corner, and if they didn't actually watermark their photos, well, they could have had their logo there too.
I can't believe you're defending this guy.
I'm not, but he's been doing it for 40 years. There's nothing new.
Okay,
he's had stuff, millions of dollars for individual shots that other people's photos. He had one photograph. He got his photograph back in the day of this guy, and he scribbled some eyes on his face and cut out a picture of a guitar and stuck it on there. I think it sold for $2 million. But it's somebody else's photo.
Yeah, right.
And no money going to that person, no attribution to that person.
Yeah, right. So why has this story suddenly blown up?
I think it comes up every now and then.
Okay.
Every time he does something new, it comes up again. Because what happens is with social media, if you have those people who follow similar sort of things, you're more likely to see this kind of stuff.
Right.
And it's hit most newspapers because newspapers are watching anything that sort of trends a bit online, and so they'll pull that out for themselves.
Yeah.
But see, he's been doing it for a very long time. But one of my favourite responses, so Peter Coulson, well-known Australian
photographer.
He had one of his photos taken.
Right.
being sold for $10,000 or something, I'd feel pretty disappointed when some of that stuff was going for $90,000.
Yeah.
Peter, you're letting your game down, dude. yeah. If someone steals your work and undervalues it, you're going to be very disappointed.
Yeah.
But he wanted everyone to go to the gallery page on Facebook and rate the gallery as low as possible and put a comment.
Right.
So I did. I put down like one star, and it was, can the people who work at the gallery please send me photos of their children? I would like to use them for my own art.
Yeah.
Yeah, so yeah, that's the like. But my favorite response was from the
Suicide Girls.
The Suicide Girls, yeah. Where they have taken, because he's taken a lot of their photographs.
Yep.
They've got his images, his art, and they've printed them out and they're selling them for $90 a piece.
No, no, no. They're using their own images, the ones that he
they're using
took.
His. They're using his version
Of their images. His version of their image.
Yeah, his version of their images. Yep. So he's stolen their art. Now they're stealing his art and selling, and all the money goes to charity.
Yeah, nice.
It's just it's a good payback. You know, so it's kind of a good response.
The
to that
sad
sort of
thing
stuff.
Is the people who support this guy, like who buy his art.
It's art as far as they're concerned. Hey, did anyone ever have a go at Ice Baby and all the music samplers who stole other people's music? Yeah. Well, they did, but I mean, does it stop? You know, what's different? Yeah. I've taken a photo. I've written this piece of music.
I suppose
there's a lot of
the thing about Ice Ice Baby, right? It was all off the bass hook, that which was just one bar of a bass riff from a Queen and David Bowie song, Under Pressure.
Yeah.
Right. Now, I suppose you could argue that it was a fairly major component of Ice Ice Baby.
And a fairly major component of the original song.
Yeah.
It wasn't just a bass hook. It was one of the things that made the song work.
Yeah, that's true. It'd be like stealing the riff of Smoke on the Water, I guess.
Yeah, or dun-dun-dun-dun, dun-dun-dun-dun. Yeah. You know, it's a fairly well-known little bit of ditty.
Yeah.
So I totally get it. I'm outraged. I think it's disgraceful. But as far as this guy's concerned, he's doing nothing wrong. As far as a lot of people in the art community is concerned, he's doing nothing wrong. But he's
I just don't get why he's been able to get away with it and not be sued out of existence for
People have tried to sue him and
they failed. And I don't get that.
They come in his favour is fair use rights. Fair. You know, he's changed them enough or whatever. I know. But, yeah, as far as he's concerned, he's pushing the boundaries of art.
Yeah, right.
And as far as I'm concerned, I don't know anything about art. So I just don't know, you know.
Yeah.
All
right, and I had two things that I came up with this week, and this will absolutely solidify Glyn's insistence that this podcast should be renamed Cranky Old Men, because both of mine are gripes.
There we go. Gripes are us.
The first one is a YouTube video called The Dangers of Selfie Sticks. And this is a parody video or a piece of satire.
An advert for something? isn't it some company advertising something and they're using that as a hook? I saw something.
I think it might have been. Now, I can't remember exactly because I watched it about 3 days ago. I'm just going to fire up the page now. It's a Pizza Hut ad.
The what?
It's Pizza Hut.
Pizza Hut.
Yes.
It says it's a Pizza Hut. It's a Pizza Hut? What's a Pizza Hut? No,
a Pizza Hut ad. Yeah. So anyway, it's a good piece of satire. So have a look at that. And the other one was, I'm so annoyed with this new trend of websites that are purely clickbait and they bury the story like five clicks in. You've got to refresh the page five times to get to the story. So in this particular instance, the story that I wanted to get to, you know, on this particular website, who I'm not even going to mention because I don't want you to go to their website. When I eventually got five clicks into the actual story, it was a link to a YouTube video. So basically I've just pulled the link to the YouTube video and that will be in the show notes. And this was a TEDx talk of a psychologist by the name of Anna Rowley and the photographer Peter Hurley, who's quite well known as a portrait photographer in New York City. And this was a great talk that they did together on stage and they coined, Glyn, you'll love this, they coined a new word, psyphotology.
Cyphertology.
There you go.
Yep.
It's got complete functionality, mate.
Okay, absolutely. And connectivity. And is there an unboxing video to go with it?
It's something like that.
Cyphertology.
But basically what they were saying was that this interesting phenomena that they notice is that so often when you point a camera at people, people freeze up. They suddenly get very nervous about taking, having their photo taken. And yet at the same time, we're seeing social media absolutely flooded with selfies. So what's the disconnect? Why is it that when a photographer wants to take your photo, you suddenly freeze up, yet if you've got your phone on the end of a selfie stick, you're more than happy to take 50,000 shots of yourself and post them to Instagram? So I won't spoil the punchline. I'll just leave it there. The link will be in the show notes. Definitely worth a watch. It's only a 10-15 minute video. It doesn't go for too long.
That's most of the TEDs are only 10 to 20 at most. Yeah.
But it was really good. It was really interesting. So
I've been watching some TED videos this week, funnily enough, as well, on Netflix. They've got some fascinating stuff, and especially some amazing stuff with card tricks and visual, how we see stuff.
Sorry, are you saying there's a TED channel on Netflix?
Yeah, it was a whole stack of TED shows, yeah.
Oh, wow. Because we've got Netflix. So.
Yeah, it's really interesting stuff. Some really, really cool stuff.
TED's great.
So, yeah, that's it.
And the bear's awesome. Straight over the top.
There was, that's right, the video. You see the parody video of the selfie.
The dangers of selfie sticks. Selfie stick.
I saw another one, and I was going to put it. Should I put in the for the show? But it wasn't quite good enough. Is a video showing that you really do need to get a proper photographer, and it was showing this guy
in
the war zone and stuff.
Yes,
he's coming up the driveway. The wife comes along, and some guy pops out with a phone, goes click, and then does the selfie in front of these two hugging.
That's right.
But I've got an idea for the website. Do we have a website?
Yeah, shuttersincpodcast.com. I mention it at the beginning of the show every week. Jeez.
Okay. funny about that. So what you could do is our show notes.
Yeah.
Don't put them all in a row like you do. Put one little bit on each page. Let's start clickbaiting.
And then fill every page with advertising.
Exactly. We've got to earn that Christmas spending. We've got to save up for the fireworks for the 300th episode, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Only got 2 weeks, better start. You better get the page working.
Get working on something.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear. Well, that's it from me.
Yep, and from me.
And from you.
Now, I did put something on the Shutters Inc. page. Nobody responded to it.
I'm going
to mention it here. Just in case there are more people who listen to this than read the Facebook page.
Including myself.
Yeah, exactly.
Any of our good listeners good with CSS and WordPress? I've made a list of modifications like done. I'll just go to buddy
that place.
I've got a friend who has all her website maintenance done.
Yeah.
On like a
freelancer website?
Type like Odesk? Thing. That's $8 an hour or something.
Okay.
And that was, if someone's, if you can't get someone to take you up on doing the work for you.
Yeah.
So what you want, let me read it out for you so it doesn't feel like you're pimping it out yourself.
Yeah.
Bruce has made a list of modifications he'd like done on brucewilliamsphotography.com, but it's beyond his expertise because he's useless to carry them out. He's happy to pay someone really poorly who's competent, really competent, more competent than he is, enough to do the work. It shouldn't take more than an hour for Bruce to explain what needs doing and 2 hours for him to stop talking and about 10 hours for you to do the work. Please PM if you're interested. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if anyone's out there who's keen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good stuff.
Yeah.
You're gonna put a link on there to the podcast, eh? Apparently it's got its own website.
What?
Your podcast. It's got its own website.
Yes, it does.
It's got its own website.
Who knew?
I thought you might be changing your Bruce Williams photography page to show that.
Yeah.
I thought it was just available through iTunes. Look at that.
Unbelievable.
Good.
Oh, dear. All right, mate. Well, you have a good week.
You have a lovely week, too. It's been a delight talking with you, as always.
Excellent. And we'll talk to you next week.
See you, everyone. Bye. Waffle, waffle, waffle.
Shutter's Inc., another audio2you.com quality podcast. For previous episodes, check out shuttersincpodcast.com or search the iTunes Music Store. For questions, comments, and feedback, email theboys@shuttersincpodcast.com.